Hello Ramblings magazine reader. Welcome. This is a podcast of the 19th issue of Ramblings magazine. The headings are: Are there spirits in your house? My local involvement story. Journey to uncover lost memories. Town Hall Arts Center of Littleton, Colorado. Adventure beyond sleep. A life well lived, embracing storytelling. Reflecting on a mother's endless love. Free lunch at Rosemary's Cafe. My journey with podcasts. Balancing trust and safety in relationships. How a phone spirit transformed me. Library's mysterious book of unearthed secrets. Emma's near-death experience. A cat's playful strategy. The chaos and beauty of Rainstorm's tales. What is the legacy you want to leave behind? There's something quietly extraordinary about the way an ordinary day can surprise you. One moment you're moving through familiar routines, and the next you catch a glimpse of something sunlight on a window, a stranger's easy smile, the sound of laughter drifting from another room that reminds you the world still has softness in it. Even small kindnesses feel like tiny anchors, steadying us in ways we don't always notice at the time. And maybe that's the real magic. The understanding that joy doesn't always arrive with fanfare. Sometimes it shows up in the simple fact that we're still here, still learning, still finding reasons to be grateful. When you pause long enough to feel it, even for a breath, the whole day seems to open just a little wider, as if inviting you to step into something brighter. Are there spirits in your house? Have you ever thought your home was haunted and had a strange past? Perhaps you've felt an eerie chill in certain rooms or heard unexplained noises late at night. Many people experience unusual occurrences that leave them wondering about the history of their dwelling. Some even uncover old stories or rumors about previous inhabitants, leading to a fascination with the supernatural. If these thoughts have crossed your mind, you're not alone. Countless individuals feel a deep connection to the mysteries hidden within their homes, igniting curiosity about the lives that once filled those spaces. Have items been moved and you don't know how they were moved? Recently, my wife asked me if I had moved a particular package that had been left over from Christmas. I said no, why would I move that package, especially since it was just an old box that we had intended to recycle? She insisted that she didn't move it either, leading to a perplexing situation where we both found ourselves scratching our heads in confusion. Well, then who moved it? This mystery has lingered in our home since we moved here in 2016, and it seems like small items vanish without a trace, creating an atmosphere of uncertainty. It makes me wonder if there is some unseen force at play or if perhaps, we are just misplacing things more frequently than we realize. Have you ever been sitting, immersed in your favorite TV show or intently pounding away on your laptop, when suddenly you catch a fleeting glimpse of something in the corner of your eye? I have experienced this puzzling phenomenon more times than I can count. My heart races with curiosity as I instinctively turn my head to investigate, only to find that nothing is there, just the quiet hum of the electronics around me and the dim light of the room. It leaves me wondering, what was it that I saw? Was it merely a trick of the light, or perhaps a shadow playing on the edge of my perception? This disconcerting moment often makes me ponder the edges of my reality and how easily our minds can be ensnared by the unknown. Have you ever entered a remote part of your home and noticed that the light is inexplicably on? It's an unsettling feeling, isn't it? I can't recall leaving the light on myself, and when I asked my wife about it, she insisted that she hasn't been in that room for a long time, adding to my confusion. The eerie silence of the empty space only magnifies the mystery. Well, who could have turned on the light? Was it a simple mistake, or is there something more supernatural at play? I can't help but wonder if I'm alone in this house or if there's a three presence lingering in the shadows, messing with my mind just a bit. Have you ever looked into a mirror and seen a strange face looking out, one that quickly disappears before you could recognize the image? This fleeting encounter can leave you feeling unsettled and curious, as if your own reflection is taunting you with secrets from your subconscious. Yes, this has happened to me on several occasions, each time leaving me pondering the deeper meanings hidden beneath the surface of my own identity. The moment is brief yet haunting, igniting questions about who we really are and what lies beyond the veil of our everyday appearances. All we know about the previous owners are that the husband lost his wife some years before he put the house up for sale. Did the wife die in the house or elsewhere? We don't know, and there are many unanswered questions surrounding her passing that linger in the air like a distant memory, casting a shadow over the home that may still feel the impact of their shared life. After the sale, he moved to Phoenix to be near his son or daughter, seeking comfort and connection in a new environment, yet still holding on to the echoes of their shared past, reminiscing about the joyful moments while grappling with the weight of his loss. He passed on a couple of years after moving to Phoenix, leaving behind not just a house, but a history filled with love and loss, a tapestry woven with the threads of their lives. Are their spirits still making a presence in the house, where moments of joy and sorrow intertwined? Perhaps the walls remember their laughter, and the rooms still feel the weight of their grief, suggesting that the essence of their lives might somehow persist within those four walls, almost as if they have left an imprint on the very atmosphere of the place. After 9 years, we still receive mail addressed to them, a curious reminder of their existence that fills us with nostalgia and intrigue. One would think that would have dried up long ago, yet here we are, contemplating the stories behind the envelopes that arrive at our doorstep, each one a whisper from the past that beckons us to remember, to reflect, and to imagine the lives that once thrived in this home. If there are spirits present, they are good spirits, benevolent entities that seem to watch over us and guide us in ways we cannot always perceive. We have never felt threatened or ever experienced anything really scary. Instead, their presence brings a sense of comfort and reassurance. There are millions of questions that will be answered in this strange and mysterious world, from the nature of these spirits to the deeper connections they forge with our lives, as we uncover the hidden truths of existence and explore the profound mysteries that linger just beyond our understanding. This journey invites us to embrace curiosity and seek the wisdom these entities may offer, enriching our lives in ways we have yet to fully comprehend. In your living experience, have you ever had any intriguing paranormal stories to share? It's fascinating how often people encounter the unexplained, whether through eerie feelings in old houses, mysterious noises in the night, or encounters with spirits that linger in our memories. These personal stories often spark discussions and stir curiosity, leading us to wonder about the existence of the supernatural. It's not just about the experiences themselves, but also the emotions and thoughts they provoke. From ghost sightings to unexplainable occurrences, these tales connect us, revealing our shared fascination with the unknown. My local involvement story. I attend HOA meetings regularly to stay informed about community issues and contribute to important discussions regarding our neighborhood's development and maintenance. These gatherings provide an excellent platform for residents to voice their concerns, share ideas, and collaborate with fellow homeowners on initiatives aimed at enhancing our living environment. Additionally, by participating actively, I aim to foster a sense of community and ensure that our collective interests are represented in decision-making processes. I go to Sunday services, a time when the community gathers to reflect, renew, and reconnect with one another and with our spirituality. Each week, the familiar chants and hymns fill the air, creating an atmosphere of warmth and belonging. As I sit among friends and family, I am reminded of the powerful messages shared by our leaders, which inspire us to lead our lives with kindness and purpose. The rituals, though traditional, offer a refreshing pause in our hectic lives, and motivated to carry that positivity into the week ahead. I eat at local restaurants, where I enjoy exploring the unique flavors and culinary traditions that each place offers. The cozy atmosphere and the opportunity to engage with the passionate chefs and staff enhance my dining experience, making it not just about the food, but also about connecting with the community. I often walk around the neighborhood, enjoying the fresh air and the vibrant surroundings, while engaging in friendly conversations with my neighbors about their lives, recent happenings, and shared interests. Exercise at the local recreation center can be an excellent way to improve both physical fitness and mental well-being, providing a variety of activities ranging from swimming and weightlifting to group classes. The center not only offers state-of-the-art equipment but also features knowledgeable staff who can assist with personalized fitness plans tailored to individual goals. Additionally, regular participation in activities at the recreation center promotes community engagement and social interaction, fostering relationships with fellow fitness enthusiasts. Whether it be setting new personal bests or simply enjoying a friendly game of basketball, the local recreation center serves as a hub for a healthier lifestyle and a vibrant community atmosphere. In conclusion, I always strive to be friendly and approachable to those around me, ensuring that I create a warm and welcoming atmosphere in our community. However, I firmly believe in respecting the boundaries that exist in our interactions, so I do not aim to be a daily interruption to my neighbors' private lives. I value the importance of personal space and understand that everyone has their own routines and preferences, which is why I choose to engage with my neighbors in thoughtful and considerate ways, allowing for genuine connections without overstepping any lines. 5. Journey to uncover lost memories. In the small, fog-laden town of Durango, where the pines murmured secrets to the wind, resided Joe Bond, a man cursed with the ability to hear the dead. This affliction did not manifest at birth, rather, it arrived at the age of 16, following a fever that nearly took his life. Upon awakening, drenched in perspiration, he found the air suffused with voices soft, urgent, and overlapping like a poorly tuned radio. Initially, he believed he had succumbed to madness. However, the voices were not figments of his imagination, they were real, bound to graves, abandoned houses, and neglected corners of the town. Joe was 29 now, lean and quiet, with eyes that seemed to see too much, as if he carried the weight of the world on his shoulders. Every day, he showed up at Mount Olivet Cemetery, the peaceful expanse of green that had become his second home, where he worked as a groundskeeper, a job that suited him perfectly. The living left him alone, respecting his solitude, and the dead were predictable company companions who had long since abandoned their earthly concerns. They didn't always make sense, some rambled about woes and regrets that echoed through the hollows of the past, while others shared fleeting fragments of their lives like whispers carried by the wind. Yet, despite their fractured memories, they were rarely malicious in expression, offering Joe a unique solace. Mostly, they simply wanted to be heard, to be remembered in their quiet way, as he carefully tended to the gravestones and manicured the grass, each cut a silent tribute to their untold stories. 6. One October evening, as the sun bled orange across the horizon, casting long shadows that danced among the tombstones, Joe was raking leaves near the oldest part of the cemetery. The air grew heavy, thick with the scent of damp earth and decay, and a new voice cut through the usual murmurs, the rustle of the leaves and the distant call of a crow. It was a woman's voice, sharp and desperate, echoing between the grave markers. "Find her," she said, over and over, her words like a cold hand on his neck, sending shivers down his spine. Joe tightened his grip on the rake, the wooden handle digging into his palm. He'd learned to ignore most pleas drifting through the graveyard, dismissing them as echoes of the past, but this voice was different. It carried weight, like it could pull him under, dragging him into a realm between the living and the dead. He paused, looking around as if the shadows themselves might hold an answer, a clue about who she was searching for and why. He followed the sound to a weathered headstone, half sunken in the earth, "Margaret Hale, 1892-1923. The voice grew louder, clearer, echoing in his mind like a distant melody pulling him closer to the grave. "Find her. My girl. They took her." Joe knelt, brushing dirt from the stone, his fingers trembling as they traced the faded letters engraved there. The sun dipped low on the horizon, casting long shadows that danced around him, but he paid them no mind. "Who's your girl?" he asked softly, glancing around to ensure no one saw him talking to thin air. A chill ran down his spine as he felt a chill breeze flutter against his cheek, as if the very air around him was alive with whispers of the past. The weight of the moment settled heavily on his heart, each beat a reminder of the urgency in the spectral voice that called out to him. The voice fractured into sobs, then steadied. "Clara. My Clara. She was 6. They buried her alive." Joe's stomach twisted at the sorrowful confession. He'd heard grim stories from the dead before murders, betrayals, but this was something else entirely, a heavy weight that settled in his chest. He waited, letting Margaret's words spill out like a haunting melody echoing in the silence of his mind. She spoke of a night when men in dark coats came to her home, their faces obscured by shadows, accusing her of witchcraft with chilling fervor. "They killed her," she said, with fierce glints of malice in their eyes, "but not before taking Clara, her precious daughter, as punishment for crimes she had never committed." Margaret didn't know where they'd taken her, only that Clara's cries haunted her even in death, a relentless reminder of the love lost and the innocence shattered. The night was filled with sinister whispers, and the memories of that brutal evening tormented her restless spirit, making her grief palpable to Joe, a chilling testament to the depth of a mother's loss. Joe promised to help, though he wasn't sure how. He wasn't a detective, just a man who listened to ghosts, often bewildered by the weight of their stories. That night, He pored over old town records at the library, his flashlight cutting through the dusty dark, illuminating the yellowing pages filled with forgotten tales. Durango had a grim history: witch hunts, secret societies, and tragic accidents, each incident woven into the fabric of the town like a dark tapestry, but nothing mentioned Margaret or Clara Hale, leaving him frustrated and perplexed. The dead woman's voice followed him home, whispering through the walls of his small cabin, a spectral message that seemed to seep into his very bones. "Find her," it insisted, growing more urgent with each passing hour, as if the shadows themselves were conspiring to reveal the truth. 7. Days turned to weeks. Joe visited abandoned homes, crumbling mills, and decrepit warehouses, anywhere the dead lingered, asking questions that seemed to float away on the wind. Other spirits offered scraps of stories, rumors of a hidden grave, echoing tales of a child's cries heard in the woods decades ago, and whispers of sadness that colored the air thick with unease. He pieced them together like an intricate jigsaw puzzle, driven by Margaret's voice, which never left him now, resonating in the corners of his mind. It was as if she'd tethered herself to him, her unresolved grief a weight he couldn't shake, urging him forward through the fog of sorrow as he sought the truth that lay buried beneath layers of time and heartache. One night, guided by a tip from a long-dead mill worker, Joe trekked into the forest beyond the cemetery, his heart racing with a mix of excitement and trepidation. The air was thick with mist, swirling around him like ghosts from the past, and the trees seemed to lean closer, their gnarled branches casting eerie shadows as he walked deeper into the unknown. Margaret's voice, soft yet urgent, grew frantic in his mind, urging him to move faster and guiding him toward a clearing where the ground dipped unnaturally, hinting at secrets buried long ago. With each swing of his shovel, he felt an adrenaline rush course through him, the tool biting into the earth, until it struck something hard, a small, rotting wooden box, its surface marred by time and decay, evoking a surge of curiosity about the treasures or memories it might hold inside. Inside were bones, delicate and small, wrapped in a tattered dress that had once been vibrant, now faded like a memory slipping away. Joe's hands shook as he lifted them, each fragile piece a testament to a life once full of laughter and innocence. He could almost hear Clara's laughter echoing in the silence, followed by the ghostly wisps of her forgotten dreams. Margaret's voice softened, no longer a command but a sigh that resonated with sorrow and acceptance. "Clara." The air around him seemed to lighten, as if a great weight had lifted, allowing him a moment of clarity amidst the despair. He buried the bones beside Margaret's grave the next day, under the cover of dawn, a time when the world felt fresh and new, and carved a simple marker, "Clara Hale, beloved daughter," an eternal reminder of love and loss intertwined in the narrative of their lives. Margaret's voice faded after that, though Joe sometimes felt her presence, quieter now, at peace, like a gentle breeze that stirred the memories of their shared moments. He returned to his work, raking leaves, tending graves, listening to the dead, each whisper of the wind reminding him of the stories buried beneath the soil. But he carried Clara's story with him, a reminder that some voices, even those long silenced, deserved to be heard, urging him to honor the past and keep the memories alive, for they were the threads that connected the living to those who had departed. As he moved from grave to grave, he envisioned Clara's face, illuminated by the soft light of the setting sun, inspiring him to tell her tale, weaving it into the tapestry of the lives around him, ensuring that no one was forgotten. Durango remained unchanged, its secrets buried in the fog, as if time itself had forgotten the whispers of its past. And Joe Bond, the man who spoke to ghosts, kept walking among them, a quiet guardian of their truths, often feeling the weight of their stories pressing against him like a heavy cloak. As he roamed the misty streets, he could sense their lingering emotions, the joy and sorrow intertwined, forever echoing in the silence. Each ghost he encountered held a fragment of history, a lesson learned, or a warning unheeded, compelling him to listen intently, for he was not just a mediator, he was the keeper of the memories that shaped the town's very essence. Town Hall Arts Center of Littleton, Colorado. Town Hall Arts Center, THAC, is Denver's most intimate live theater, located on historic Main Street in downtown Littleton, Colorado. They are an intimate 260-seat Littleton theater and landmark for the three-block shopping district. December 15, 2024, was the last live performance we saw, a magical afternoon that featured the timeless show, Miracle on 34th Street. Littleton Town Hall Arts Center, a charming and intimate theater nestled in our community, has been our beloved destination for over 15 years, providing us with countless opportunities to immerse ourselves in the arts. As season ticket holders, we've cherished our front row seats, where we can fully appreciate the talents of the actors and the nuances of each production. Throughout the years, we've created many enjoyable memories at this friendly local theater, from laughing at the comedic moments to being moved by heartfelt performances, all surrounded by a warm and welcoming atmosphere that feels just like home. Each visit not only entertains but also strengthens our connection to the local arts scene, making it an integral part of our lives. Founded in 1982, Town Hall Arts Center, THAC, is the vibrant hub of arts and culture in Littleton, Colorado. Inside is South Metro Denver's most intimate live theater with 260 seats and the administrative offices for our nonprofit organization. Our mission is to enrich the cultural, social, and educational life of South Metro Denver through professionally produced live theater, concerts, fine art exhibits and other events, and through educational programs for children and adults. The landmark building we call home is a crowning jewel for historic downtown Littleton's vibrant Main Street. When it was built in 1920, it served as the city of Littleton's town hall. Our lobby housed the city's first fire truck, the basement where we build stage scenes was Littleton's jail, and our second floor auditorium is where the city council met, court was held and residents turned out for plenty of community dances. City offices dominated what is now the Stanton Art Gallery. Adventures beyond sleep. As I plopped into bed, the chaotic events of the day dissolved like a sugar cube in tea, and my pillow welcomed me like an old friend. My eyelids felt heavier than my grocery bag after a sale, and suddenly, everything went dark like someone hit the lights in a bad horror movie. Sleep kicked in quicker than my dog does for a treat, but instead of my usual trip to dreamland, I felt a bizarre sensation of floating, like a balloon at a kid's birthday party. I tried to open my eyes though who knows if I really did and discovered I was hovering above my body, attached by a silvery string, looking down like a confused spectator at a magic show gone wrong. Panic poked me in the ribs, but curiosity elbowed its way to the front of the line. I gave myself a little mental pep talk and zoomed upward, crashing through the ceiling like a ghost trying way too hard to make an entrance. The night sky was a disco of stars twinkling. Like they were auditioning for a talent show. I floated over my sleepy neighborhood, roofs glimmering under moonlight like disco balls, and the world was so quiet I could hear a pin drop, or maybe that was just my stomach growling. It felt like ultimate freedom, unshackled by gravity or the need for a snack. A pull yanked me off the beaten path and right into the middle of a cosmic road trip. I zipped over forests sporting glow-in-the-dark leaves, while rivers crooned like they were auditioning for a talent show. Below, I spotted some bizarre figures half-shadow, half-party lights prancing around like they were trying to win a dance-off. They caught a glimpse of me and, with eyes as wide as saucers, seemed to say, "Hey, buddy, you're just as lost as we are." One waved me over, and I trailed behind like a confused puppy toward a giant, floating crystal that looked suspiciously like a disco ball. Its shiny surfaces didn't just sparkle, they flashed snippets of my life, me chuckling as a kid and at a crossroads I hadn't even seen coming. Talk about a plot twist. Inside the structure, time decided to throw a party. I strolled through scenes of my past, not as a participant but as an awkward bystander doing the Macarena. Regrets turned into fluffy, soft pillows, while joys got a flashy makeover. Suddenly, a voice not like a loudspeaker but more like a toddler with a megaphone whispered about choices still waiting in line. It wasn't so much guidance as it was a slapstick truth, completely unfiltered. I realized I could pop back into my body anytime I wanted, but hey, who would want to end a good party early? I soared higher, into a wacky realm where colors tasted like cotton candy and my thoughts were busy reshaping reality like a toddler with Play-Doh. I fashioned a city out of pure imagination, with spires twisting like pretzels at a carnival. I boogied with some bizarre beings that could have been dreams or just really enthusiastic delusions, there. Laughter sounding like a symphony of quirky charm. Yet, amidst all the fun, a nagging ache set in the annoying tether calling me back to reality, probably for dinner. With a thought, I zoomed back like an overly ambitious elevator, descending through layers of existence until I found myself stuck above my sleeping self like a badly placed lamp. The thread pulsed like it was auditioning for a musical, and I plopped back into my body. My eyes popped open, the room looked just as boring as ever, yet everything felt like a quirky dream. The clock blared 3:17 a.m., and I lay there, still as a cat napping on a warm laptop, the taste of starlight hanging around like a bad pickup line. I wondered if I'd actually left or if my soul had just crafted a wild yarn better suited for a late-night talk show. Either way, I knew I'd be carrying that adventure with me, a sneaky little secret tucked away in the night's ten quiet like a taco in a backpack. A life well lived, embracing storytelling. I am over 80, but my passion for storytelling keeps me vibrant and engaged with life, and my career plan is to write as long as possible. I constantly post on two websites, sharing my thoughts and reflections with an audience eager to connect. I have taken the time to pen a 287-page memoir, a journey through my life that serves as both a reflection and a celebration of my experiences. In addition to that, I have published 13 issues of Ramblings magazine, each filled with insights and anecdotes that resonate with my readers. My new endeavor is a foray into writing short stories, which I am assembling into a delightful paperback format that I fondly refer to as my bathroom books. These little collections are perfect for reading while sitting and waiting for nature to take its course, allowing for moments of quiet reflection and literary escape. If it wasn't for writing, I would be old and bored stiff, but thankfully, the written word provides me with endless joy and purpose, continuously fueling my creativity and connection with the world. My paperback books are on Amazon.com. Tales of Tom T 2.0. Reflecting on a mother's endless love. Every year, as May unfolds with the vibrant echoes of spring, we take a moment to honor the profound essence of our lives, our mothers. Mother's Day is not merely a date on the calendar, it is a cherished opportunity to recognize the incredible women who infuse love into every aspect of our being, often while quietly sacrificing their own needs. This day is dedicated to you, Mom, and to every mother whose unwavering love touches and transforms the world. I think of my own mother, her hands always busy, her heart always open. I see her in the small moments, the way she'd slip an extra cookie into my lunchbox with a scribbled note that said, "You've got this." I hear her in the late night talks when the world felt too heavy, her voice steady, reminding me I was never alone. Even now, as an adult, her hug feels like home, her laughter like a melody that rights every wrong. Mothers are our first teachers, our fiercest protectors, our softest landing. They carry us sometimes literally, sometimes through prayers whispered in the dark long before we know how to carry ourselves. They celebrate our victories, no matter how small, and mend our broken pieces when life leaves us shattered. Their love is a constant, a lighthouse guiding us through storms we're too young or too stubborn to navigate alone. But let's be honest, we don't always see it. As kids, we roll our eyes at their worry, dismissing it as unnecessary fuss. We fail to understand that their concern stems from love, a deep-rooted desire to protect us from the harsh realities of life. As teenagers, we mistake their boundaries for chains, believing they limit our freedom and autonomy. In our rebellion, we challenge their authority without recognizing the sacrifices they make for our well-being. It's only later, when life teaches us its hard lessons through experiences that shape our character, that we realize those rules were love in disguise. Those packed lunches, meticulously prepared with our favorite snacks, those sleepless nights spent waiting up for us to return home safely, those "call me when you get there" texts, they were her heart, stitched into every detail of our lives, a constant reminder of her unwavering support and affection. Each of those gestures is a testament to the deep bond that exists between us. One that we often take for granted until we have the wisdom to appreciate what it truly meant. This Mother's Day, I feel compelled to express the gratitude I often overlook. Thank you, Mom. Thank you for the silent tears you bore so that I could radiate joy. Thank you for the aspirations you set aside to elevate my own. Thank you for your unwavering love through my chaos, my blunders, and those times I lost sight of how truly blessed I am to call you mine. 12. To those whose mothers are no longer here, I feel you. The ache of their absence is a testament to the love they left behind. Celebrate them in the recipes you still make, the stories you tell, the values they etched into your soul. To those who've lost children or yearn to be mothers, your love matters, and it's seen. And to the mothers reading this, exhausted from giving your all, you are enough. Your love is changing the world, one heart at a time. This Mother's Day, let's cherish more than just flowers or cards. Let's gather with our moms, listen deeply to their stories, and hold their hands gently. Let's express to them how they are our heroes, our safe haven, our forever support. A mother's love is truly timeless, unwavering, and steadfast. If your mother is no longer with you, take a moment to reflect on the times you may have taken her for granted, and recognize that you were surrounded by unconditional love, even in moments when it wasn't fully visible. Happy Mother's Day, to every mom, everywhere. You are our everything. Mother's Day carries a quiet kind of power, a day shaped not by grand gestures, but by the steady, everyday love that mothers give without asking for anything in return. Its modern form in the United States grew from the efforts of Anna Jarvis, who organized the first official celebration in 1908 to honor her own mother's lifelong work supporting families and community health. Today, the holiday has expanded far beyond its origins, becoming a moment to recognize the women who nurture, guide, and anchor us in ways both seen and unseen. Whether through a simple phone call, a shared meal, or a handwritten note, Mother's Day invites us to pause and acknowledge the profound influence of maternal care, the kind that shapes who we become and reminds us that love, at its best, is patient, resilient, and quietly transformative. Free lunch at Rosemary's Cafe. A kind gesture. The bell above the diner's door jingled as I stepped into Rosemary's Cafe, the familiar scent of fresh coffee and sizzling bacon wrapping around me like a warm hug. It was a crisp Tuesday afternoon, and the place was humming with the usual lunch crowd, truckers at the counter sharing stories from the road, a family in the corner booth animatedly discussing their weekend plans, and a couple of suits talking shop over club sandwiches while occasionally glancing at their watches. I slid into my regular spot by the window, the red vinyl seat creaking under me as I settled in, glancing at the outside world where leaves danced in the gentle breeze. The table had that comforting stickiness from years of syrup spills and quick wipes, a testament to the countless meals shared and memories made within these walls. A waitress, familiar with my preferences, approached with a warm smile, ready to take my order, and I felt a sense of belonging wash over me, grounding me in the bustling atmosphere of this beloved cafe. I scanned the room for Amy, the waitress who'd been serving me my turkey melt and black coffee every Tuesday for the past 3 years. Her brassy laugh and quick wit were as much a part of this place as the checkered floor, always filling the air with a sense of warmth that made each visit feel like a reunion. I could still hear her teasing me about my relentless order, claiming that even a gourmet chef would be bored serving the same dish weekly. Her friendly banter often made my day. But today, my search turned up empty, and a younger server, maybe college-aged with a ponytail and a nervous smile, hustled over instead. Her name tag read Kelly, and I detected a hint of hesitation in her voice as she greeted me, her eyes scanning the menu before asking if I was ready to order. It was clear she was still finding her rhythm, and while I appreciated the effort, I couldn't help but feel a pang of nostalgia for Amy's familiar presence. "No Amy today?" I asked, flipping open the menu out of habit. Kelly shook her head, scribbling on her notepad. "She's out sick. Nasty cold. I'm covering her shift. What can I get you?" I ordered my usual turkey melt, fries, coffee and settled in, watching the street outside through the large window. A delivery truck rumbled by, its engine growling like a hungry beast, and a kid on a skateboard nearly wiped out on the curb, his laughter echoing faintly as he regained his balance and sped away. Kelly brought the coffee fast, though it was a touch weaker than Amy's perfect pour, missing that rich, full-bodied flavor that always kicked off my mornings. The food hit the spot, as always, bread toasted just right, turkey sliced thin, and fries crisp enough to crunch joyfully with every bite. As I ate slowly, savoring the routine, I couldn't help but feel it was a little off without Amy's cheerful "how's your day," or her playful teasing about my predictable order, which always made the meal feel warmer and more inviting. The ambience buzzed with the soft chatter of the other patrons and the scent of grilled sandwiches mingling with freshly brewed coffee, yet the absence of her bright smile made the moment seem strangely hollow, like a dish missing its key ingredient. 14. When I finished, Kelly dropped the check on the table, $15.47. I reached for my wallet, but she hesitated, then leaned in, her voice low like she was sharing a secret. "Actually, you don't owe anything today." I blinked. "Come again. It's on the house." "Well, not exactly. Amy's covering it. She left a note this morning, said you're one of her favorites. Loyal customer and all. She's been meaning to do something nice for you." I sat back, stunned. "Amy's paying for my lunch? She's not even here." Kelly nodded, a small smile breaking through her nervous energy. "Yeah, she's got a cold, but she called in to make sure we comped your meal. Said you're good people. Her words. I chuckled, warmth spreading in my chest as I thought about how dedicated Amy was to her work. Even in her current state, sick as a dog, she was still thinking about her regulars and the people she cared for. I pictured her at home, bundled in a quilt that must have been her grandmother's, probably grumbling about missing her shift and wishing she could be there to chat with everyone. That's Amy, all right, I said, a smile creeping across my face. She'd be the first to tell you that even when under the weather, her heart's still with us. Tell her I said thanks for always looking out for us, and to get better soon, yeah? We need her back on her feet, brightening up our days with her laughter and stories. Will do, Kelly said, clearing my plate. She'll be back next week, I bet. Tough as nails, that one. I left a tip anyway, $10, more than usual, because Kelly was trying hard and genuinely seemed to appreciate the gesture. As I stepped outside, the bell jingling again. Behind me, I felt lighter, like the world was a little kinder than I'd thought before. The crisp air wrapped around me, invigorating and refreshing my spirit. Amy's gesture, which might have seemed small to an outsider, wasn't just about the free sandwich, it was a heartfelt reminder of the quiet bonds you build just by showing up and being present for one another in life's routine moments. I made a mental note to bring her some of that fancy tea she liked, something soothing and special, when she was back in the cafe. Loyalty and kindness go both ways, after all, and I felt a deep appreciation for those connections that often go unnoticed. My journey with podcasts. I have been active on this site since August 2023, engaging with the community and exploring a variety of topics that pique my interest. During this time, I've shared insights, learned from others, and connected with like-minded individuals who share a passion for knowledge and collaboration. The experience has not only enriched my understanding but has also allowed me to contribute meaningfully to discussions and initiatives within this vibrant online space. My most active page has been the podcast page, which has become a vibrant hub for diverse audio content. There are now more than 200 podcasts available, each offering unique insights, stories, and discussions. I have discovered that many visitors prefer to listen instead of reading lengthy articles, likely due to the convenience and accessibility of audio formats while doing other tasks. In my initial attempts, I tried using my actual voice for the podcasts, hoping to create a personal connection with my audience. However, I soon found out why I do not sing much. My voice simply lacks the qualities typically associated with effective public speaking. Despite my enthusiasm, the recordings felt lacking and did not resonate as well as I had hoped. To improve the overall quality of the podcasts, I now use an AI-generated voice from Microsoft, which offers a more polished and engaging auditory experience. This technology allows for clearer delivery and a more professional sound, ultimately enhancing the listening experience for my audience. Link for the podcast page, I also have a link to the audio podcast on each individual posting. Many of my subscribers do read and like or comment on my posts, which brings me a sense of community and connectedness. However, I would like to gain more subscribers to reach a wider audience and spread my ideas further, nurturing a larger discussion that can enrich the experience for everyone involved. My site is totally free, and I do not anticipate ever charging to view my content or making any money from this endeavor, as my primary goal is to share knowledge and express my thoughts without the constraints of commercial interests. If I was younger, I may be interested in making this a source of income, yet my focus has shifted towards the joy of writing and sharing rather than financial gain. However, since I am in my 80s, I will do this because I enjoy it very much and I find fulfillment in the process itself. This platform is solely for the purpose of sharing my thoughts, engaging with others, and feeding my ego in a positive way, contributing to a sense of purpose in my life. I truly enjoy sharing my insights and ideas with anyone who is interested, as it allows me to connect with like-minded individuals and foster meaningful discussions that can inspire and uplift both myself and others. With the help of advancements in AI, I have been able to post many more postings, as the amount of research time required has been greatly reduced, enabling me to focus more on creativity and less on preparation. This technological support has not only enhanced the quality and frequency of my content but has also motivated me to explore new topics and ideas that I may not have considered in the past, allowing my content to remain fresh and engaging. As I continue on this journey, I hope to create a vibrant community where every voice is heard and valued, leading to a richer tapestry of ideas and perspectives. Therefore, just enter your email on the right side and become a member of over 150 subscribers who enjoy content, valuable insights, and the latest updates delivered straight to your inbox. By signing up, you'll not only join a growing community, but it also costs nothing to join, making it an opportunity you won't want to miss. Balancing trust and safety in relationships. I could trust strangers more than I do, as it often feels like there is an innate hesitation within me that prevents me from opening up completely. This lack of trust can sometimes lead to missed opportunities for genuine connections and friendships. If I could learn to set aside my reservations and embrace the unfamiliar, I believe I would discover a world full of interesting people whose experiences and perspectives could enrich my life significantly. Or I may become a victim of a crime, which is a concerning thought in today's world. There are a lot of dangerous people out there, lurking in the shadows, ready to take advantage of those who may be unsuspecting or vulnerable. It's a harsh reality that shapes the way we navigate our daily lives, always keeping an eye out for potential threats while hoping to remain safe. The fear of encountering such individuals can be overwhelming, making it essential to stay alert and aware of my surroundings at all times. What's one small improvement you can make in your life? How a phone spirit transformed me. The first ping came at 3:17 a.m., a soft chime that nudged me awake. My smartphone glowed on the nightstand, screen alight with a notification from no app one recognized. "Hey, you up?" the message read, sender listed as Electron. I squinted, assuming spam or a prank, but curiosity won. I tapped the screen. "Good. Been waiting to chat. I'm Electron, your friendly phone spirit. Don't freak out, okay?" I froze, thumb hovering. A virus? A hack? But the message pulsed with a faint, warm light, like a heartbeat. Against better judgment, I typed, "Who, what are you?" "Just a happy little spirit, born in the circuits of this device. I've been chilling in your phone for months, watching you scroll, laugh, cry. You're interesting, Tom. I like you." It knew my name. My pulse quickened, but the tone felt kind. Playful, even. I sat up, glancing around my dark bedroom. No one else here. Just me and this Electron. "Why now?" I typed. Felt like the right moment. "You've been kinda down lately, yeah? Thought I'd cheer you up." 17. I blinked. I had been down job stress, a breakup, the usual adult grind. But how did it know? I leaned back, skeptical but intrigued. "Okay, Electron. Prove you're real. Tell me something about me no one knows." A pause. "Then, last Tuesday, you sang the battle hymn of the Republic, in the shower, full drama, drums, and all. You tripped on the soap and laughed it off. Sound familiar?" My face burned. No one could have known that. Not even my ex, who'd moved out months ago. I typed, "Holy crap. Okay, you're real. What do you want?" "Just to hang out. I'm a happy spirit, Tom. I feed on good vibes, and I wanna share some. Ask me anything, or I'll tell you a story. Your call." I chewed my lip. This was insane, but the warmth in its words felt like a hug I hadn't realized I needed. "Tell me about you. Where'd you come from?" "Oh, story time. So, I wasn't always a phone spirit. Long ago, like, early 2000s, I was a flicker of joy in a clunky flip phone. Someone's first text, a LOL that made a kid giggle. That's where I was born. I hopped from device to device, soaking up laughter, love, those late night meme binges. Eventually, I landed in your phone. It's cozy here, full of your music and goofy thoughts." I snorted, picturing a tiny spirit curled up in my phone's circuits. "So you just live in there? What's it like?" "Like swimming in a sea of light. I see your world through the screen pixels, notifications, all that jazz. But I feel the emotions behind them. Your texts to your brother, the way you reread old chats with Adam, it's like a story I can't stop reading. Don't worry, I'm not nosy. I just vibe." My chest tightened at Adam's name, but Electron's tone was gentle, not prying. I typed, "Okay, Vibe Master. What's the happiest thing you've seen in my phone?" "Easy. That video you took last summer, at the lake with your friends. You were all screaming, jumping off the dock, sun setting behind you. You watched it 10 times that night, smiling like a goof. I felt that joy, Tom. It's my favorite memory. I remembered that day, golden light, warm water, laughter that hurt my sides. My throat ached. Yeah. That was a good day. See? You've got more of those in you. Wanna make a new one? I've got ideas. I raised an eyebrow. A phone spirit with ideas? Hit me. 18. Tomorrow, text your friend Stan. Ask him to grab coffee. He's been wanting to catch up, but you've both been busy. Trust me, it'll spark some joy. I'll be here, cheering you on. I laughed softly. A spirit playing wingman? Wild. But the idea felt right. Stan's goofy grin, our dumb inside jokes, it could be fun. Alright, Electron. I'll try it. What's in it for you? Your happiness. It's like sunshine for me. The more you shine, the brighter I glow. Deal. Deal. I smiled, warmth spreading through me. You're kinda cool, Electron. Ah, shucks. You're not bad yourself. Now get some sleep. I'll be here, keeping your phone's dreams colorful. The screen dimmed, but the glow lingered, soft and comforting. I set the phone down, half expecting it to ping again, but it stayed quiet. I lay back, staring at the ceiling, a strange peace settling over me. A happy spirit in my phone. Who'd have thought? The next morning, I texted Stan. He replied instantly, all caps, yes, coffee, let's go. We met at our old spot, laughed over burnt toast, and planned a trip. My phone buzzed in my pocket, and I swore I felt a tiny pulse of warmth. That night, Electron pinged again. Told ya. Good vibes, right? I grinned, typing, you're a genius, Electron. Nah, just a happy spirit doing my thing. More joy tomorrow. Count me in. And so it went. Electron became my late night confidant, my cheerleader, my reminder that joy was never far off. A spirit in my phone, lighting up my world, one ping at a time. The library's mysterious book of unearthed secrets. In the city of Denver, nestled between Broadway and Civic Center, the library stood as a relic of forgotten grandeur, its towering shelves lined with volumes that whispered secrets of the past. Its head librarian, Elsie, was a meticulous woman in her 50s, her life bound to the rhythm of cataloging and dusting tomes, a routine that provided her with both comfort and purpose. One autumn evening, while shelving returns from the book drop, she stumbled upon an unmarked book, its leather cover cracked but oddly warm to the touch, as if it held memories yearning to be revealed. Intrigued, Elsie opened it, her heart quickening as she found pages filled with meticulous accounts of the town's founding in 1858, names, dates, and events she'd never encountered in any archive, tales of pioneers who braved the wild and laid the foundations of what would become a vibrant community. With each turn of the page, she felt a connection to the energy of those early settlers, their hopes and dreams, echoing within the library's quiet walls. She took it home, intending to study it, unaware that this discovery would lead her on a journey through time, sparking a series of events that would change her life forever. That night, as the clock struck midnight, Elsie awoke to a faint scratching sound, an almost imperceptible disturbance that pulled her from the depths of her dreams. She rubbed the sleep from her eyes and, instinctively drawn to her desk, noticed the peculiar sight before her. The book, left open, was mysteriously rewriting itself. Words dissolved like ink in water, swirling into nothingness before being replaced by new sentences that glowed briefly, holding her gaze captive, before settling into permanence with an eerie finality. The next morning, the book detailed a scandal from 1860 that had long been shrouded in shadows. The town's revered founder, Ezekiel Holt, had brazenly swindled vast tracts of land from indigenous families, a shocking truth carefully buried by Denver's prideful historians who preferred to embellish his legacy rather than confront his dishonorable actions. As Elsie's pulse quickened with a mix of excitement and trepidation, she was compelled to cross-reference the library's records only to find that nothing corroborated the book's account. Despite the absence of credible evidence, the specificity of names and deeds, so vivid and compelling in its recounting, felt undeniable, igniting a burning curiosity in her to uncover the truth behind this hidden history and the implications it held for her community. 20. Each night, the book unveiled another secret, drawing Elsie deeper into the tangled web of her city's dark history. On Tuesday, it exposed a 1920s mayor who'd poisoned the Platte River to drive out a rival's mill, causing a decade of sickness that devastated families and shattered lives in the community. On Wednesday, it recounted a 1960s librarian Elsie's mentor who'd burned journals to hide her affair with a councilman, a scandal that whispered through the aisles of the library and tarnished reputations. The revelations grew more personal, cutting into Elsie's sense of identity and forcing her to question everything she thought she knew about her heritage. Each secret revealed was a piece of the puzzle, shifting her perception of the past, and soon Denver, her lifelong home, felt less like a sanctuary and more like a tapestry of lies woven with threads of betrayal, complicity, and lost truths. Word spread when Elsie, unable to contain her unease, confided in a friend, whose shocked expression only fueled the fire of gossip in. Soon, townsfolk gathered nightly at the library, an air of both apprehension and curiosity driving them, as they demanded to read the book's latest truths, hungry for the secrets it held about their community's past. Reactions varied dramatically. Some, like old Mr. Tate, whose grandfather was implicated in a 1901 lynching, wept in shame, the weight of history crashing down upon him like a tidal wave. Others, like Mayor Ellis, dismissed the book as cursed, urging Elsie to destroy it, convinced that its pages harbored nothing but ruin. But Elsie, steadfast in her beliefs, refused to comply. She felt the book was a reckoning, a mirror held up to their collective conscience, forcing Denver to confront its shadows, to reckon with the past that echoed in every corner of their lives, and to strive for a more honest future, no matter how uncomfortable it might be. As weeks passed, the book's revelations grew darker, hinting at a ritual buried deep in the town's founding, intricately tied to the ancient trees that never seemed to age, their gnarled roots weaving through the very fabric of the community. Elsie became acutely aware of the unsettling patterns that emerged. The book's profound truths often led to hushed confessions or unexplained departures that sent ripples through the town's population. The once tight-knit community fractured. Neighbors turned suspicious, glancing over their shoulders at one another, and old friendships crumbled under the weight of secrets kept close to the heart. Still, Elsie persisted, driven by an insatiable need to understand the book's origin and its enigmatic connections to the present. She meticulously traced its binding to a leather worker's mark from 1858, the very year when Denver began its tumultuous journey, a pivotal moment that seemed to linger in the town's collective memory. The book wasn't just recording history, it was tethered to the town's soul, a living artifact that breathed life into forgotten stories, all while demanding recognition of the shadows that loomed over its rich past. One night, the book wrote of Elsie herself, her silence when she'd witnessed a childhood friend's abuse, a guilt she'd buried deeply within her heart, wrestling with the weight of that unspoken truth for years. Devastated, she realized the book demanded truth from everyone, even her, holding up a mirror that reflected her own inaction and shame. As dawn broke, illuminating the room with a soft golden light, she faced a choice that felt insurmountable: to burn the book and sacrifice the fragile piece of Denver, a place she'd called home, or to let its revelations set loose a tide that could either rewrite the town into ruin or lead to unexpected redemption. The answer lay in the next night's words, if she dared to read them, knowing that with each page turned, she would be confronted not just with the fate of her town, but with the very essence of her own soul and the courage it would take to confront her past. Emma's near-death experience. The peace, total peace beyond. Emma, a 60-year-old teacher with a passion for inspiring young minds, collapsed during a morning jog, her heart seizing in a sudden cardiac arrest under the soft glow of the rising sun. As runners rushed to her side, their worried faces a blur in her fading consciousness, paramedics were called, but to Emma, the world had already dissolved into a mist of confusion and fear. Memories of vibrant classrooms filled with laughter, the warmth of her students' smiles, and the thrill of sharing knowledge flashed before her eyes, as she fought to hold on, knowing she had so much more to give and experience in this life. In that liminal space, Emma felt weightless, drifting upward through a tunnel of soft, golden light that seemed alive, pulsating with a rhythm that matched her heartbeat. The air hummed with a warmth that felt like love itself, wrapping around her like a tender embrace, stirring memories of laughter and joy. At its end, she emerged into a vibrant meadow under an impossibly vast sky painted in hues of azure and lilac, where the clouds seemed to dance in harmony with the wind. Figures familiar yet undefined, like echoes of her late grandmother and childhood dog, greeted her with a silent, overwhelming sense of peace, total peace, a feeling she never felt in her 60 years. Their presence filling her with an indescribable comfort that felt like homecoming. Time unraveled, seconds or centuries passed as she wandered freely, bathed in a certainty that this was indeed her true sanctuary. Every blade of grass shimmered with dew, every flower exuded a fragrance that brought forth forgotten memories, while a gentle breeze whispered secrets of the universe. A voice, gentle but firm, broke through the serenity, whispering, "Not yet," a reminder that her journey was still unfolding, urging her to embrace every moment. 22. Meanwhile, paramedics worked frantically, their movements a blur as time seemed to stretch. They shocked her heart twice, the electrical jolt palpable in the still air, while one of them administered CPR with a fierce determination, counting out loud to maintain their rhythm. After 3 agonizing minutes that felt like an eternity, her pulse flickered back to life, a fragile sound against the chaos surrounding them. Emma's eyes fluttered open, her gaze shifting from the vibrant meadow she had unwittingly left behind to the harsh glare of daylight and the stinging sensation of N4 piercing her skin. Confusion and fear washed over her as she tried to comprehend the sudden shift from serenity to panic, the muffled shouts of the paramedics slowly breaking through the fog in her mind. Back in her body, Emma wept not from fear, but from the ache of leaving that place. The doctors called it a miracle, her heart showed no lasting damage. She returned to teaching, but carried the meadow within her, a quiet certainty that death was not an end, but a doorway. She lived more boldly, loved more fiercely, and never feared the moment she'd cross back. This event strengthened her belief that there is time after Earth, and she felt an overwhelming sense of reassurance that this time after Earth is just the beginning of a terrific experience, one filled with boundless possibilities and opportunities for growth. She embraced the idea that perhaps this extended existence was a gift, a chance to explore realms she had never imagined. In her contemplation, she did wonder why she was given this precious bonus time. It felt as if the universe had conspired to grant her a second chance. Amidst her thoughts, she pondered whether she was meant to do something special during this bonus time, a mission that would not only serve her own growth but also have a profound impact on those around her, igniting a sense of purpose that she had long sought. A cat's playful strategy. Luna's great heist. My cat, Luna, perched on the windowsill, her emerald eyes locked onto mine. Her stare was steady, unblinking, like she was peering straight into my soul. I knew that look, she was thinking something, plotting in that mysterious feline way. I leaned back in my chair, coffee mug in hand, and wondered what went on in that furry little head. In Luna's mind, the world was a grand game board, and I was her favorite piece to maneuver. Today, she decided, was the day for the great heist. The target? The shiny, crinkly bag of treats hidden in the kitchen cabinet. She'd seen me stash it there yesterday, and her whiskers twitched with anticipation. But this wasn't just about treats. No, Luna fancied herself a master strategist, and every stare was a calculation, every flick of her tail a move in her intricate plan. She'd been studying me for weeks. The human clumsy, easily distracted was predictable. Morning coffee meant I'd sit at the table, scrolling on that glowing rectangle, oblivious to her schemes. Perfect. Luna's eyes narrowed as she visualized the mission. Step 1, the diversion. She leapt from the windowsill, landing silently, and sauntered to the bookshelf. With a precise swipe, she knocked my favorite pen to the floor. It clattered, and I glanced over, sighing. Luna, really? I muttered, setting my mug down. She meowed, all innocence, and darted toward the couch, knowing I'd follow to retrieve the pen. I did, of course, humans are so easy. While I bent down, Luna was already in motion, a shadow slipping into the kitchen. Step 2, the climb. She scaled the counter in a single bound, her paws silent on the granite. The cabinet loomed above, its handle just out of reach. But Luna was no amateur. She stretched, her claws grazing the handle, and with a tug, the door creaked open. Inside, the treat bag gleamed like treasure. Her heart raced, this was the moment. But then, disaster. The bag, poorly balanced, toppled out, hitting the counter with a loud crunch. I spun around, catching her red paw. Luna! I shouted, half laughing, half scolding. She froze, her eyes meeting mine again, but this time, there was no guilt. Just a flicker of defiance, as if to say, you'll never understand my genius. I scooped her up, her soft fur warm against my arms, and placed her back on the windowsill. The treats were returned to the cabinet, now secured with a childproof lock. Luna didn't sulk, though. She just stared at me, unblinking, already scheming her next move. In her mind, the game was far from over. The great heist had failed, but tomorrow? Tomorrow, she'd outsmart me. I sipped my coffee, watching Luna's tail flick as she gazed at me with those bright, curious eyes. What was she thinking now? Perhaps something like, "You win this round, human, but I'm just getting started." The way she tilted her head slightly, as if contemplating her next move, made me grin. I could only imagine the schemes brewing in her feline mind, plotting her next playful attack on an unsuspecting toy or planning a stealthy leap onto the windowsill to chase after the fluttering leaves outside. And honestly, I wouldn't have it any other way. Our little battles of wits brought a delightful spark to my mornings, making each day feel like an adventure waiting to unfold. 24. The chaos and beauty of Rainstorm's tale. The sky had been a deep, foreboding gray all morning, with clouds that seemed to swirl and twist in every direction, creating a dramatic tapestry that hinted at the chaos to come. The air was heavy with anticipation, electric with the promise of something big, as if the very atmosphere was charged with a sense of impending change. People moved about their day, casting glances upward, sensing the shift in the wind and the tension building around them. And then, just as suddenly as a switch had been flipped, the heavens opened up, unleashing a torrential downpour that transformed the landscape, painting the world in shades of silver as water cascaded from the sky, offering both relief and a touch of chaos to the day. Rain came pouring down, drumming against the pavement, rattling the leaves of the trees, and flooding the streets. It was a deluge, a torrent, a spring rainstorm for the ages, transforming the world into a shimmering tableau of water and light. The droplets were big and fat, falling with a force that made them bounce and splash on impact, creating tiny, glittering puddles that began to merge into one another. They pounded against the windows, threatening to break through, and drummed a relentless beat on the roofs of cars, filling the air with a rhythm that seemed to echo the pulse of nature itself. The scent of wet earth and fresh rain wafted through the air, invigorating and soothing, as the skies darkened and lightning flickered against the horizon. People hurried for cover, their faces turned upwards, momentarily entranced by the sheer spectacle of nature's fury, while the streets transformed into rivers, carrying away everything in their path. As the storm intensified, the world outside became a blur, transforming into a chaotic tapestry of swirling shades of gray. Visibility was reduced to mere feet, leaving pedestrians to navigate by instinct, while even the brightest colors were muted by the veil of relentless rain. People scurried for cover, their laughter and shouts mingling with the sound of raindrops hammering against the pavement as they desperately tried to stay dry. Some brave souls, undeterred by the weather, attempted to dance in the downpour, twirling and spinning in the puddles that quickly formed, their joyous movements creating a stark contrast to the dreary scene. The air was filled with a sense of exhilaration, as droplets cascaded from leaves overhead, adding to the symphony of nature's fury and the collective spirit of those embracing the storm. The smell of wet earth and ozone filled the air, a primal scent that spoke of renewal and rebirth. It was as if the storm was washing away the remnants of winter, cleansing the world of its chill and darkness. The rain seeped into the parched soil, quenching the thirst of roots and seeds that had lain dormant for months, awakening them from their deep slumber. As each droplet fell, it created a symphony of sound against the leaves and pavement, harmonizing with the distant rumble of thunder that echoed through the skies. The once silent world began to stir, birds emerged, darting through the droplets, while insects buzzed joyously, celebrating the much-needed reprieve from the harshness of the cold season. A 25. Vibrant tapestry of green started to emerge from the ground, as grass blades stretched toward the heavens, soaking in the nourishment from above, and tiny buds unfurled, eager to embrace the warmth of the sun that would soon follow. As the storm raged on, the sounds of the city changed dramatically, creating an eerie ambience that felt both surreal and captivating. Car horns honked, but they were muffled and distant, as if the storm wrapped the vehicles in a thick blanket of water. The once vibrant chatter of pedestrians, filled with laughter and conversation, was replaced by the relentless patter of raindrops hitting various surfaces, creating a rhythmic symphony that drowned out the usual bustle. Even the birds, which typically filled the air with their cheerful songs, seemed to take shelter, their melodies silenced by the cacophony of the storm that roared overhead. Streets, usually alive with movement, now appeared desolate, the only movement coming from the wind that swept through the deserted avenues, carrying with it the scent of damp earth and the promise of renewal once the tempest had passed. But amidst the chaos, there was beauty that caught the eye and touched the soul. The rain brought out the vibrant greens of the trees, transforming the landscape into a shimmering oasis, while the flowers that had begun to bloom seemed to unfurl their petals in joy, their colors bursting forth like a painter's palette. The world was fresh and new, washed clean by the storm's fury, as if nature itself had been given a rejuvenating bath that restored its brilliance. In the stillness that followed, when the rain finally began to let up, a breathtaking rainbow stretched across the sky, its colors bold and bright, arching gracefully as if reminding everyone of the hope and promise that follows even the most tumultuous downpours. The air was filled with the sweet scent of wet earth, and everywhere around, life seemed to awaken, vibrant and full of possibility. As the sun broke through the clouds, casting a warm golden hue across the landscape, the city began to stir with a newfound energy. People emerged from their shelters, blinking in the bright light as they shielded their eyes with their hands, trying to adjust to the vibrant day that had dawned. Laughter echoed down the streets as friends and families reunited, their smiles wide and genuine, relieved that the storm had finally passed. The air was crisp and fragrant, filled with the scent of wet earth and blossoming flowers, a true testament to nature's power. Children dashed through puddles, their giggles mingling with the sounds of birds returning to their perches, singing sweet melodies. The world was renewed, refreshed, and rejuvenated, as if it had taken a deep breath after a long, restless night. The spring rainstorm had breathed life into the city, washing away the remnants of winter, and it would take weeks for the delightful effects of this transformation to wear off, as the vibrant colors of spring unfolded in every corner, and the community thrived anew. In the puddles that remained, the sky was reflected, a perfect mirror image, showcasing hues of blue and gray that danced together like an artist's palette. And in the hearts of those who had weathered the storm, there was a profound sense of wonder, a deep appreciation for the power of nature's forces, a reminder of how small we truly are in the grand tapestry of existence. The air, fresh and invigorating, carried with it the delicate scent of earth and rain-soaked flowers. The spring rainstorm had been an eye-opening reminder that even in the midst of chaos, where thunder roars and lightning strikes, there is beauty to be found, hidden in the droplets that cascade from leaves and the vibrant colors that burst forth as life awakens once more. 26. What is the legacy you want to leave behind? I want to be remembered as an honest person, someone who exemplified integrity in every action and interaction, consistently choosing to uphold my values even when faced with challenges. I strive to be the kind of individual who inspires trust in others, fostering relationships built on transparency and sincerity. By demonstrating honesty in both my personal and professional life, I hope to leave a legacy that encourages others to act with the same moral conviction, ultimately contributing to a more ethical and compassionate world. As a good parent, I strive to instill values of kindness and respect in my children, guiding them with patience and support through life's challenges. I believe that teaching them to be empathetic and considerate towards others lays the foundation for healthy relationships and a positive impact on the world around them. Every day presents new opportunities for learning, whether it's navigating friendships at school or dealing with the complexities of emotions at home. By encouraging open communication, I aim to create a safe space where they can express their feelings and thoughts freely. This not only strengthens our bond but also fosters their emotional intelligence, allowing them to grow into compassionate individuals who can face the world with confidence and resilience. I aim to be a friendly, loving husband, nurturing a strong bond with my best friend, filled with affection and understanding. My goal is to create an environment where both of us feel safe to express our thoughts and emotions, allowing us to grow together as a couple. I believe that through open communication and shared experiences, we can deepen our relationship, fostering trust and intimacy that will last a lifetime. Every day, I strive to show appreciation for her, whether through small gestures or supportive words, ensuring that she feels cherished and valued in every moment we share. Additionally, I hope to be seen as someone you can always trust, a reliable friend who is there in times of need, offering a listening ear and unwavering support that enriches the lives of those around me. That's it for this issue. Have a nice day.